The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired.
Engage.
You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm Chris Skidmore, and this is Tech Tips. Coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips, we are chock full of useful tricks. First, learn how to get Microsoft Edge to generate automatic alt text for images. Next, we'll take a look at how to use two pairs of AirPods with a single iPhone and how to record what's on your screen. We've also got some new research to look at, including a pair of goggles designed to slow the advancement of glaucoma and the first artificial retina brain implant. Finally, an interview about a new printer that turns images into raised lines. All that is coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips. Here's a look at how to enable auto-generated image labels on Microsoft Edge. This comes to us from Cool Blind Tech. Windows 11. Microsoft Edge now has an option to generate alternative text labels for images on the web that do not include them. The alternative text, or alt text, is a helpful label part of website code that screen readers use to describe the contents of an image to people with vision loss. Since not every image on the internet provides this information, Microsoft Edge processes the image without any information, using machine learning to generate a description automatically. The feature isn't perfect, but the description will be better than not having any information. Once you turn on the feature, the browser will send any JPEG, PNG, GIF, WebP, and any other image format to the cloud for processing, and it will return a description in 5 different languages and any text inside of the image in more than 120 languages. The feature won't work for images marked as decorative, smaller than 50 by 50 pixels, excessively large, or explicit. Here's how to enable automatic image labels on Edge. First, open Microsoft Edge. Click the Settings and More button in the top right corner and select the Settings option. Click on Accessibility. Under the Make Microsoft Edge Easier to Use section, turn on the Get Image Description from Microsoft for Screen Readers toggle switch. Next, click the Yes, I'm In button. Once you complete the steps, as you browse the web, if an image doesn't have a useful label, the browser will generate an alternative text label automatically. To enable screen reader support through the accessibility settings, use these steps. First, open Microsoft Edge. Then, copy and paste the following path in the address bar and press Enter. The path is edge:\\accessibility\. Under the Accessibility Modes section, check the Web Accessibility option. Then, check the Screen Reader Support option. After you complete the steps, the browser will use machine learning to generate labels for missing alternative text on the image across the internet. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. In this section, we've got a couple of useful tricks articles you can use on your iPhone. The first is about connecting two pairs of AirPods to one iPhone. They say the best things in life are worth sharing. Well, here's how to connect two pairs of AirPods to one iPhone to share audio. This comes to us from Cool Blind Tech. In the steps below, we'll show you how to connect two AirPods pairs to one iPhone or iPad for shared listening, plus how to disconnect the extra AirPods once you're done. If you would rather use one set of AirPods and split the audio so you and a partner can each listen with one AirPod, you'll need to change an audio setting instead. Here's how to connect two pairs of AirPods to one phone. If you haven't already done so, connect your first set of AirPods, AirPods 2, or AirPods Pro to your iPhone before your friend connects their pair. Next, bring the second pair of AirPods that you'd like to connect close to your iPhone with the case open. Select Temporarily Share Audio, then follow the prompts to complete pairing. You'll see a notification that the guest pair of AirPods is connecting. Select Temporarily Share Audio, then follow the prompts to complete pairing. You'll see a notification that the guest pair of AirPods is connecting. Select Done when pairing is complete. Once the second pair of AirPods is connected to your iPhone, you can share audio simultaneously to both sets of AirPods. Open the app you'd like to share audio from and start playing audio. When you're ready to disconnect the second set of AirPods, open the Settings app. Select Bluetooth, then select the X icon next to the name of the AirPods in the Sharing With section. If you're ever without a second pair of AirPods, you can still share audio without missing any details by setting your iPhone to mono audio mode and splitting your left and right AirPods between you and your friend. It's not a perfect solution, but it works in a pinch. Regardless of which method you choose, now you can enjoy sharing your music with friends and family. In another useful trick article, let's talk about recording what's on your screen to show to other people. Here's how to screen record on your iPhone. It comes to us from CoolBlind Tech. A screen recording captures everything you normally see on your screen directly to a file. But instead of an image, it's a video that gets saved to your photos library. Screen recordings are great for capturing errors or bugs in action, making tutorial videos, and more. Keep in mind that you can't take a screen recording while mirroring your iPhone's screen to another display. Otherwise, everything on the screen gets captured, including notifications. To enable the screen recording button, first open the Settings app. In Settings, select Control Center near the top. In Control Center settings, swipe down and select Screen Recording with the plus symbol beside it. This will move it from the Move Controls list to the Included Controls list and will make it show up in Control Center. Now that you've added the Screen Recording button to the Control Center, you can take a screen recording at any time. To do so, first open the Control Center by swiping downward with one finger in the upper right corner of your iPhone screen. In Control Center, the Screen Recording button, a circle within another circle, will be located near the bottom of the panel with the other shortcuts. If you want to make a screen recording without audio, you can select the Screen Recording button once. However, if you'd like to capture audio from your phone's microphone during the screen recording, select and hold the Screen Recording button. If you select the button once, skip the next step. But if you've pressed and held the Screen Recording button, you'll see a special pop-up menu. To turn on microphone recording, select the microphone icon until it turns red and says Microphone On beneath it. Next, select Start Recording. After 3 seconds, your iPhone will begin recording all activities on the screen and your microphone audio as well, if you enabled that option. You'll notice that both the screen recording icon in Control Center and the clock in the upper left corner of the screen turns red while your iPhone is recording. When you're finished capturing your screen recording, select the red clock in the upper left corner of the screen. Then select Stop in the pop-up menu. You can also stop the screen recording by opening Control Center and selecting the Screen Recording button again. When it turns from red to white, you'll know the recording is stopped. After that, you'll see a pop-up notification informing you that the screen recording you just captured has been saved to your Photos library. To view or share your screen recording later, open the Photos app as you usually would. Among your photos and videos, you'll see a thumbnail that represents the screen recording. Tech Tips. is on the North Carolina Reading Service. Here's an article about a pair of goggles that deliver pulses of electricity to stop glaucoma. This one comes to us from Cool Blind Tech. Glaucoma is a common condition which can cause loss of vision if not treated. Now, goggles, which deliver pulses of electricity to the optic nerve, are being trialed as a new way of halting its progress. Researchers believe the treatment, which is backed by previous successful studies, will stop progression of the condition, which affects more than 500,000 people in the UK. Glaucoma is a common eye condition involving damage to the optic nerve, a bundle of more than 1 million nerve fibers that links the eye's retina, the layer of light-sensitive cells at the back of the eye, to the brain's vision processing center. It's usually caused by fluid building up in the front part of the eye, increasing pressure inside the eye and on the nerve. This can lead to a loss of vision if not properly diagnosed and treated. It's not clear why it occurs, although age, a family history of glaucoma, and having other medical conditions such as diabetes and short-sightedness can increase the risk. There are a number of different types, with primary open-angle glaucoma the most common, most prevalent in the over 70s and 80s. This develops slowly, caused by the drainage channels in the eye gradually becoming clogged and affects peripheral vision first. For this reason, people often do not realize they have glaucoma, and it's only detected during a routine eye test. Treatments include eye drops to reduce eye pressure and lasers or surgery to open up the blocked drainage tubes or to reduce the production of fluid in the eyes. Researchers say that despite the effectiveness of such medications, many patients' glaucoma worsens, with progressive vision loss developing. Up to a third of patients can contribute to this by forgetting to take their eye drops regularly, according to a 2019 study in the Journal of Ocular Pharmacology and Therapeutics. This new device, which looks like a pair of virtual reality goggles and has been developed by South Korean-based New Yin, uses low-level electrical stimulation to promote nerve tissue regeneration. Electrical impulses are delivered to the skin surrounding the eyes through tiny electrodes. The electrical stimulation mimics the body's wound healing mechanisms to trigger growth in the optic nerve, says its makers. The trial at Konkuk University, South Korea, involves 22 patients with glaucoma who will wear the goggles for 30 minutes a day for 16 weeks. Doctors will monitor any changes in eye pressure and the thickness of the nerve fibers. There is already some evidence suggesting electrical stimulation may be beneficial. A study in the current issue of the journal Brain Stimulation involving 70 patients found that optic nerve stimulation had halted glaucoma progression in the majority of patients who had not responded to conventional treatment of the eye drops. Each eye was stimulated with pulses of electricity until phosphenes occurred. These are the stars, zigzags, squiggles, swirls, and other shapes seen when the cells of the retina are stimulated by rubbing or after a sneeze, cough, or blow to the head. Patients had 10 daily stimulation sessions over a 2-week period, each lasting about 80 minutes. Researchers from Germany's Friedrich Alexander University said the treatment halted progression in more than 6 out of 10 affected eyes treated. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. We're always on the lookout for new and interesting implants when it comes to assistive technology, and this one definitely qualifies. This article is entitled, First Successful Implantation of Revolutionary Artificial Vision Brain Implant, and it comes to us from the Illinois Institute of Technology. While there is currently no cure for blindness, a first-of-its-kind artificial vision system has undergone the first successful implantation, bringing with it the potential to restore partial vision to people who have lost their sight. The intracortical visual prosthesis, or CVP, an implant that bypasses the retina and optic nerves to connect directly to the brain's visual cortex, has been successfully surgically implanted in the CVP study's first participant at Rush University Medical Center this week. This surgery is part of a Phase 1 feasibility study of an intraocular visual prosthesis for people with blindness. The CVB system was developed by a multi-institution team led by Philip R. Troik, Executive Director of the Pritzker Institute of Biomedical Science and Engineering at Illinois Institute of Technology, Professor of Biomedical Engineering, and represents the culmination of nearly three decades of Illinois Tech research dedicated to ultimately providing artificial sight to those with blindness due to eye disease or trauma. The intraocular visual prosthesis system is the first intraocular visual implant to use a group of fully implanted miniaturized wireless stimulators to explore whether individuals with blindness can utilize the artificial vision provided by this approach. This visual prosthesis system allows devices to be permanently implanted, which is a unique advantage that provides researchers ample time to explore how the device can effectively work and for the recipient to learn how the device can be useful. During the preclinical phase, the Illinois Tech team worked with Rush University Medical Center neurosurgeons to develop and refine surgical procedures, culminating in this week's successful implantation of 25 stimulators with a total of 400 electrodes in an individual with blindness. The clinical phase is aimed at testing whether this prosthesis will provide study participants with an improved ability to navigate and perform basic visually guided tasks. Testing will commence at the Chicago Lighthouse after a 4 to 6 week recovery period. This is an incredibly exciting moment, not just for the field of biomedical engineering, but more importantly for people with blindness and their loved ones around the world, says Troik. Since many individuals affected by total blindness do not have intact retina or optic nerves, but retain the visual cortex, the area of the brain that allows people to see, an intraocular visual prosthesis may be the only possible advanced visual sensory aid from which they can benefit. While the brain works as a powerful processing system and receives millions of nerve signals from the eye, if the eyes are no longer able to communicate with the brain, Troik says that researchers can intervene by bypassing the eye and optic nerve and going directly to the area of the brain called the visual cortex. This operation represents a critical step in the decades of research by our whole ICVP team in our efforts to bring sight to blind patients, says Dr. Richard Byrne, the neurosurgeon at Rush University Medical Center who performed the surgery. Illinois Tech is collaborating with Rush University Medical Center, the Chicago Lighthouse, the Wilmer Eye Institute at Johns Hopkins, the University of Texas at Dallas, Microprobes for Life Science, Cygnex Incorporated, and the University of Chicago on the initiative, with Troik serving as the lead investigator. For people who are completely blind, gaining even a little bit of light perception can make a huge difference, said Janet P. Szczojczyk, president and CEO of the Chicago Lighthouse. The findings from this research will help pave the way for other groundbreaking advancements in blindness, research, and vision restoration, she said. Funding for this study was provided by the National Institute of Health's Brain Research through Advancing Innovative Neural Technologies Initiative, the Department of Defense, and from private donors. Research reported in this publication was supported by the NIH Brain Initiative under award number UH3NS095557. The content is solely the responsibility of the authors and does not represent the official views of the National Institutes of Health. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. Earlier this year, the CSUN 22 conference was held in California. CSUN is an annual conference where manufacturers come together to show off their latest in assistive technology. I recently stumbled across a YouTuber by the name of Nosillacast who attended the conference, at which time she interviewed a company called American Thermoform. We all know how expensive embossers can be. To that end, American Thermoform has come up with a product that can turn images into raised lines on a sheet of paper, along with printing Braille in much the same way. Here is a recording of that interview between Allison Sheridan of Nosillacast and Robert Yaquist of American Thermoform.
I'm talking to Robert Jaquist of the American Thermoform, and I'm looking at a piece of paper with a butterfly on it, and Robert's going to explain to us what I'm looking at and what I'm feeling.
Okay, this paper is called Swell Touch paper. It is technically microcapsule paper. It's coated with a special coating, and when printed on with black carbon-based ink, you can then put it through a machine like this, and it will raise the image.
So for the people who can't see the video, this we're looking at something that looks like kind of like a big black tall printer, but it's got fans on the top.
Right. Some people used to call these things a Susie Bake Oven. So the page would go through and from the front and come out on the back side.
And what's going on the inside?
It's exposed to infrared light.
So the paper gets printed on with just a normal printer to start?
Normal laser printer.
Okay, so normal laser printer prints black on it, and then it goes through the infrared here, and then what happens?
The image raises. So you have a flat image coming in the front, you have a raised image coming out behind. Whoops, didn't mean to bump the microphone. And so that's how that machine works.
So for the people not seeing this, as I run my fingers over this, I can wherever there's a solid line, it's a quite significantly raised, very easy to feel with my fingers. There's a grid of cells here. I've got a butterfly now. They've politely colored it for the sightlings, but you can definitely feel there's little tiny holes in the butterfly's wings, and I can feel the antennae. And little bumps over here. And we've got Braille on there as well. That's pretty cool.
And then we make a machine called the Braille Braille Embosser, and it produces Library of Congress spec Braille. And our Braille Braille Embossers run anywhere from 300 characters a second to 650 characters a second. And depending upon which one, some of them just print embossed paper. Some we have the high end will actually make magazine type pages, put a cover on and staple it for you.
Now that's
for the high end folks that want to make lots of magazines.
So back to this this infrared embosser. How do you expect to sell this into businesses? I would imagine
this would be for students at home might use one. This is a $1,500 item.
Everything's expensive, right?
Yeah, so it would be usable for people at home, schools, businesses where you need to see charts and graphs and things like that.
You know, I'm saying $1,500 is expensive, but the new Apple display is $1,600, so this is to be able to see, right, with your fingers.
Right. Now, the CSUN people gave out these books that describe the hotel lobby.
So what we're looking at here is a series of embossed pages in a spiral notebook, and
right,
you can figure out
now
where to go.
This is actually thermoformed. So somebody made a master out of strings and embossed foil, and I don't know who knows what they used. And then they put a sheet of plastic over it, and then there was a machine called a thermoform machine. And it's got a big oven, and you pull the oven over, and you wait for 10 seconds, and the motor goes, and then you shove the oven back and let it cool for a little bit and pop it out, and you have a copy. And that technology has been around since the early 60s.
So that's the old and busted way of doing it, not the cool new way.
Right. Well, the thermoform makes beautiful tactile graphics. Some of the best tactile graphics you'll ever see come out of thermoform, because you can do things with thermoform that it's very hard to do with anything else.
Well, this is very cool. I've never seen anything like this. And if people wanted to learn more about it, where would they go?
They go to American Thermoform and AmericanThermoform.com.
Very good. Thank you very much, Robert. This is pretty cool stuff.
And I will give you a brochure, and you can add on whatever contact information you need.
Very good. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
You have a great day.
Tech Tips. is on the North Carolina Reading Service. Twitter is coming out with audio tweets for iOS. This article comes to us from Cool Blind Tech. Twitter is coming out with audio tweets, allowing users to share thoughts in audio form inside their feeds. The feature will only be available to some iOS users for now, though the company says all iOS users should have access in the coming weeks. No word yet on Android or web rollout. For users with access to the new feature, the process is pretty straightforward. Users can write a new tweet as they normally might, but now, alongside options to attach a photo or video, there's a new button where users can record a quick audio message. Over the years, photos, videos, GIFs, and extra characters have allowed you to add your own flair and personality to your conversations. A blog post from Twitter announcing the feature reads, "But sometimes 280 characters aren't enough, and some conversational nuances are lost in translation. So starting today, we're testing a new feature that will add a more human touch to the way we use Twitter. Your very own voice." Twitter's brevity has always been a ceiling that the social network has seemed to push up against with new products. In 2017, the company announced it was expanding the limits on tweets from 140 to 280 characters. This feature potentially allows for much longer thoughts to be shared on the service, limiting audio clips to 140 seconds. For users chatting away when the limit is reached, instead of being cut off, a new tweet will be threaded beneath the original, allowing the thoughts to continue pouring out. The limit is still an interesting one, indicating that Twitter isn't racing to turn into a podcast platform, but is instead hoping this feature can enable a new type of communication that fits into the existing conversation. One thing that's certainly an open question is how audio tweets will add to Twitter's abuse problem. Twitter has many challenges when it comes to flagging harassment among text-only tweets, which are much easier to auto-flag with machine learning tools. Decoding abuse in audio snippets is a much taller order for these systems. Furthermore, scrubbing through content that's been reported manually is going to be more time-consuming for content moderators. Audio has been a rolling trend in social networking. Over the past couple of years, podcasts have become a hotter space with companies like Spotify investing heavily in startups and content acquisition. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Tech Tips is available online at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.